Our gospel reading, the Christmas story, is also written to a bunch of people who were suffering under the empire of the day. It wasn't the Assyrians anymore. The Assyrians got conquered by the Babylonians, who got conquered by the Persians, who got conquered by the Greeks, and then the Romans came along. They're the empire of the day. And they too have invaded and are controlling the land of Israel. They are oppressing God's chosen people. And so again, God brings a word of hope. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and it was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth among those whom God favors." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I did, between services, what every pastor knows he shouldn't do. I looked at the attendance from the first service and then went back to my office and looked at the worship attendance at Christmas in 2005, second Christmas I was here. You know how many people we had in Christmas Eve? We had three services on Christmas Eve. You know how many people we had? 585. We're not going to make that mark this year. Which can get a pastor down. And I heard in the back of my head this imaginary voice saying, "Yeah, why would I take time to go hear that old story. That old story that probably isn't even true. But let's be honest, not all the people who say that are out there. I bet some of us are in here. I bet some of us wonder why we come and hear this story again. So I think a lot of people just have finally found the kind of the courage to not just say that in their mind, but to kind of say it out loud and to act upon it and say, it's just not worth my time. I don't care about some 2,000-year-old story that was probably made up. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not scoffing at these people. I'm not looking down upon them. I understand why they say that. But I find it ironic, and I find it ironic for two reasons. First is, people who say that might find it surprising to know that I agree with them, in the sense that this is probably a made-up story. What I mean by that is, if we're talking, you know, historical fact, I don't know how much of any of this story is historical fact. You know, if you read the history of this time of in the world, a lot of great men, and I'm sorry, women, it was all men back then, were born because their mom was impregnated by a god. Augustus Caesar supposedly was, so was Alexander the Great. Both of them also, by the way, people said they saw stars and comets in the sky when they were born. See, these were common stories, common legends. And they're not made up. It's not as if they're trying to trick anyone. This is just the way these people who told these stories wanted to help people understand how important these individuals were. And so they had these great legends around them. So I have no idea. You know, if Mary and Joseph made this, that's a huge trip, all the way up here in Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And, you know, you had to go in huge caravans because it was so dangerous. And it's hard to imagine if they were going to Joseph's hometown, that there wasn't some family there. I mean, they went there because it's his family's home. Surely there would have been a place for a pregnant woman to have a baby. But you see, it just could be a story. But that's the other part that I find so ironic. And that is that we modern people, we think of stories and we say, they're just stories. We're more sophisticated than that now. And that's what's ironic. Because we all base our lives on stories. Everything you and I do is because of a story we tell ourselves, a story that our society tells us, a story that either consciously or unconsciously we've entered into. And there's a lot of those. It's not like one story. There's a lot of kind of different variations on it. You know one of the stories really well this time of year. What story are we told that brings us happiness, that's highlighted this time of year? Come on, you know the story. What? Buy stuff. Right? Have you heard that story? Have you participated in that story? Do you have presents under the tree that you've bought to give someone to make them happy? Did you give someone a list of the presents you want so that you will be happy? That's a story, the story of consumerism. We all live by that story. What does that story do? Literally makes the world go around, doesn't it? What happens if we all stopped buying stuff? The story of our society would come to a screeching halt. Is that story true? Is your happiness based on the stuff you receive? Is the best way for you to show love to your loved one by the gift you give them, is that a true story? Or how about the story of being successful, huh? Anyone here besides me a workaholic a little bit? Oh my gosh, you guys wouldn't even raise your hands on Christmas Eve. So no one here spends too much time at the office. No one here reads emails at home. No one here does any of that, right? You go to work just your this amount of time, and when you leave it, you forget about it, and you don't care about it because you're not connected. Work doesn't matter to you. No, come on, people. How many of you are willing to leave your cell phone here for a week? That's what I thought. And if it's not because of work, because it's because I have to be connected, that's the story, right? You've got to know what's going on in everybody's life, and you've got to show everyone what's going on in your life. And the more people you connected to you, the more friends you have, and I know that's old-fashioned Facebook. I don't even know the new terminology with the new things. But we all know that the more little contacts you have on your phone, the happier you are, the more successful, the more popular, the more plugged in you are, right? That's the story. We all. That's what's so ironic, this notion of, you know, why would you care about a 2,000-year-old story? Stories don't matter. Yes, they do. The same way that story guided these people 2,000 years ago, they still guide us today. They're just different stories. The question is, when we stop and really look at the stories that are leading our lives, do we have the courage to ask, are those really the stories I want to live by? Do I want to live by the story that says I'm going to be happy if I get more stuff? Live by the story that says if I have better stuff than that person, then I'm obviously a better person. Do you want to live by the story that if I just work a lot, I mean a lot, and do more than the guy or gal in the cubicle next to me, then I will go up the ladder faster, and we all know if I go up the ladder faster, I will get more money. We know that more money means more happiness. Do we want to really live by the story that says if we just keep our kids busy enough, if we get them active in soccer and dance and gymnastics and baseball and football, then they'll get scholarships, which will get them to a better college, which will get them a better job, which will get them more money, which will make them happy, right? Is that not a story that we hear all the time? Are those not the stories of our lives? See, this story of this nobody couple from absolute nowheresville, Nazareth. I can't even think of a small town in, you know, the sand hills to compare it to. That's how bad it is. A story that says that a couple like that, of nobodies, that God said, I think I'm going to do something amazing through you. A story that says that the way God decided to let people know about this child that was going to come and show people what God's love was like, this story says that instead of going to the people in power, you know, the heads of state and the people in charge of the media, you know, the movers and the shakers, instead, I think I'll tell it to the shepherds. Dirty, smelly shepherds. These are the nobodies. These are the burger flippers, the street sweepers, the ditch diggers of that society, the nobodies. I'm going to go tell them first about this good news. And then, to top it all off, the God of the universe is going to decide to come to us as a helpless little baby. Nothing threatening about a baby, unless you're afraid of diapers. Babies are harmless. In fact, babies rely on us. And then we didn't read this story, but we all know the story of the wise men who come. In this story, so these foreigners, they see this star that means a new king is born. And what do? Do they go to their king and they say, oh my gosh, you know what? Neighboring kingdom got a new king. This could be trouble. We better get armed. We better build up our military. We better get ready to fight this new... No, that's not what the story goes. These foreigners instead get gifts. Get gifts to bring to this new king. I don't know if you'd call that a piece. I don't know what you call that, but that's a good story, my friends. And that's the point that I'm trying to make. This notion of saying it's just a story, well, of course it's just a story, but what story do you and I want to build our lives on? And so we come together on this night and we sing these songs that, whether we like it or not, we know so many of the verses, and we're going to do silly things like come up here and eat bread and wine, and we're going to light candles later on, because it's all part of a different story. A story of a God who doesn't want to conquer anyone, doesn't want to control anyone, instead wants to come among us and say there is a different way of living, of peace and joy and hope. A king who comes and starts by saying, don't be afraid. I bring you tidings of great joy. It's an old story. It's a story I would rather base my life on than a story of just what's in it for me and what can I do? How can I climb the ladder? How can I make sure I'm okay? This is a story of how God comes among us to show us how to live together, to care for one another, to make sure that everyone's invited, that everyone's included, that everyone has what they need, and that love and peace and joy and hope are the foundations, the principles of our lives. Thank you for coming and hearing this strange, old-fashioned, subversive story. And I hope I have you wondering about what story it is that you're following right now. And I pray that you're a little bit tempted to say that old story of a babe born in Bethlehem might have a lot more going for it that I remember. May God bless you with peace and hope and love and joy. May God help you step back from these destructive stories that we too often live in. Spend some time just basking in the simple joy of this wonderful story of a God who loves us and a God who calls us to love one another. Amen.